guardian angels, and patron saints.
Pray for us.
Today, we meditate on the mystery of the Holy Family. Today, in this octave of Christmas, the church focuses our attention on the mystery that God chose to come as a member of a family when he came to save the world. Of all the ways that he might have come, he chose this one. And because God cannot act other than in the most perfect possible way, his choice to come as a member of the family was the best possible way to come as the Savior of the world. To our human reckoning, we might ask, well, why not miraculously descending so as to be clearly of divine power and of divine origin? Why conceal himself? Why mix himself up in the messiness of a human origin like the one we hear described in the Nativity stories? But it was indeed the best way. What God chooses is the best. Just as in choosing to save the world, he chose to become incarnate, to suffer, be rejected, and to die on the cross, and to be raised. This was the best possible way to save the world. There could be no better. There could be no more perfect way. So when Simeon cries out, "My eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples," what he's crying out is the sight of a man and a woman and a child coming to present themselves in accordance with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Surely the significance of that can't be lost on us, that God chose to come in that way, to be revealed in that way. The great Catholic author and convert to Catholicism, G.K. Chesterton, once said, "There's nothing more extraordinary than an ordinary man and an ordinary woman with their ordinary children." Nothing more extraordinary than that. Chesterton was a poet at heart, and poets wonder at the simple, ordinary things and see them as the extraordinary gifts that they are. And so we grow blind over time, accustomed to moving around and handling things, handling them by their outsides, so to speak, and we lose the significance of what they are. And often that's the case with our families. Families are taken for granted. The mystery of having a family, with all of its blessings and burdens, is often lost on us, and we take it for granted. But the church's liturgy calls us and graces us to be able to receive this gift anew, refreshed with true vision. Our families are a source of tremendous blessing because they are the ways in which our burdens are lifted and carried by those who love us. We discover our value by the ways in which our burdens are carried and shared, first and foremost by the members of our families. I find that in our culture today, with all of the negativity around the ordinariness of the family and its goodness and the desirability of forming an exclusive union of man and woman and raising your children, that even in the midst of all the challenges and the negativity around that as a normal or beautiful thing, still there's many reasons to hope and to experience. We see so common the gratitude for the gift of family. I think back to our Thanksgiving celebration here as a parish staff. The parish staff of Christ the King and Blessed Sacrament, we try to get together around these holidays as a group to celebrate together. And on Thanksgiving, we had our meal in the Good Shepherd Room downstairs. We went around the table just talking about the things that we were grateful for. And I think without exception, every member of the staff said what they were most grateful for was their family. Actually, the first thing they said was how grateful they were for their awesome boss. That was the first thing they said. But then after that, they mentioned their families, right? It's the great gift. In these circumstances, right, families aren't always neat and tidy. Doesn't mean we have a leave it to beaver kind of approach to life. That's not the only way families are a blessing to us. Even as that becomes more and more rare, something that was very common, very ordinary, Nonetheless, families still continue to be a source of grace and blessing in the world, because they are the way that God has chosen to show us that our burdens can be carried and lightened by others. And this is, of course, the case not only in the good times and the celebrations, but also in the difficult times, most especially in the difficult times. One of my good friends, Father Nathan Haverland, the pastor of Most Pure Heart of Mary in Topeka, has been traveling back and forth to Chicago over the last few weeks because he received a phone call that his aunt was not in a position to care for herself anymore. And he was more or less her last living relative. So he's been traveling to Chicago to try to get her situated in a place to live, to try to figure out what to do with all of her belongings, her cats. What do I do with all, I don't know, looking for help. But he went because he's family. Right, who else will go? Charity begins, right, with those that we share blood with. That's the mystery of family, right? And God gave us that gift for a reason. We ought not hold it cheaply. So family is a source of great blessing, but it's also a place of mission and of calling. It's a task. Not only is it a gift, it's also a task. All of God's gifts are also vocations, callings, right? As he gives, so he asks that those gifts be used for his glory. And so it is with the mystery of the family. Our scripture reading today in the event of the purification of Mary and the redemption of the firstborn son in the temple after 40 days, the offering of the sacrifice of two young pigeons is a ritual that has its origins far back in the Old Testament. In fact, they go back to the very origin of the Levitical priesthood. You've heard of the Levitical priesthood. That's the formal part of the people of Israel dedicated to service in the temple. They were not always given that responsibility. The Levitical priesthood actually started at a particular point in time. It was the time when the Israelites had just been liberated from slavery in Egypt. They were wandering the desert. And as Moses was up on Mount Sinai, remember this story, receiving the two tablets with the Ten Commandments, the people of Israel were down on the plain committing idolatry with the golden calf. Now, the people who were leading that idolatry were the firstborn sons, because they were the priests. The firstborn sons were considered the priests, the religious leaders of the people of Israel up until this point. But because of their failure, after having been delivered through the 10 plagues and the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, that they still failed to live in obedience to the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the priesthood was taken away from them and it was given to the Levites. From that point forward, every firstborn son had to pay back the debt of the failed responsibility of living out the priesthood as God had ordained. And that was the source of the sacrifice. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord and offer as redemption a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Right. Now, if there was ever a family that didn't need to offer this sacrifice, it's the one we hear about in our gospel reading today. Mary, sinless, Jesus, God himself. Yet they obey. Yet they comply with the dictate of the law of the Lord. Why? So as to leave us a model and a pattern to follow. Christ leaves us a model and a pattern to follow in every aspect of life. Not just in those sacrificial moments, which we see the ultimate model and pattern in the cross, but also in the ordinariness of our family lives. And what is the model and pattern? That a family can only be truly a family when it is offered in obedience and humility to the Lord. That's the task of the family that accompanies the gift. We must live our family life devoted to obedience to the Lord, and so remain humble so as to gain entrance into his kingdom. In this new year, there will be many opportunities for us to make resolutions and set goals, but perhaps the most important one of all would be, like the Holy Family, to eagerly hear the Word of God. As a family, to draw the attention of one another to the revelation that we receive in the Scriptures, and of course in the Holy Tradition, the teaching of the Church. But to eagerly drink from these letters, these stories, these revelations that are given to us as the very Word of God, speaking into our family lives. And in those Scriptures, we often hear the importance of handing these things on to our children. Drill them into your children. Repeat them. Meditate upon them when you were at work and when you were at rest. Let them inform your life. But begin by staying close to the Word, listening to the Scriptures. Right, even while here at Mass, listening attentively, not letting them pass over us as a background commentary while we flip through a missal or occupy ourselves with some other distracted thoughts, but praying for the grace to be able to be attentive to the Word of God as it's being proclaimed live and in person. Right, receiving those things as the gifts and the graces that they really are. The Word of God. God himself revealing his priorities, his preferences, right, his desires to reconcile the world to himself. And to treat those things as the wisdom that they truly are. No family was less in need of the sacrifice of purification. Jesus, God in person, and Mary preserved from the stain of sin. Yet, in obedience, they fulfilled the dictate of the law of the Lord so that we might have a model and a pattern to follow. We are not perfect. We are not without sin. We are conscious of the ways in which we are always in need of repentance and growth and holiness. And if Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were willing to humble themselves in obedience to that law, then perhaps we can be too. Why not? Today, on this feast of the Holy Family, we ask their intercession to give us a consciousness of a gratitude for the gift of the burden of family life in all of its messiness and glory. And so, too, to give us the strength in order to carry out that task with fidelity and humility in obedience to the dictate of the law of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.